On today's edition of the Locked On Nets podcast, Josh and I recap and react to the Game 1 loss to the Toronto Raptors, plus what can the Nets change and adjust moving into Game 2, all that and more coming up on Locked On Nets.
You are Locked On Nets, your daily Brooklyn Nets podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome into another edition of the Locked On Nets podcast. I'm your host, Josh Bass. Joining me as always, after a pretty painful playoff bashing by the Toronto Raptors of our beloved Brooklyn Nets, it's Marcus Barahal. Marcus, what's going on?
Josh, now that we're a day removed, feeling a little bit better about it. Like you said, definitely a painful loss. There were some moments that were good, which we'll talk about, I'm sure. But yeah, when you look at the margin and especially what it was at points in the second quarter, tough start after the like kind of feel good seeding games.
I know we were so positive. I think it was just 2 days ago from when we were recording this that we both agreed there won't be any blowouts in this series.
But there almost wasn't. They came back for
true.
A sec.
It's true. There's like a kind of a nice run by the Nets to make this kind of an 8-12 point game. But I hate to delay the inevitable, but it was a painful loss. So I'll just quickly say that please, you know, subscribe to our podcast wherever you get your podcasts. Give us a rating and review. We have a guest that we've been trying to coordinate with for a while, a return guest that I think we're both pretty excited about because they are extremely plugged into the New York basketball scene, so I won't give it away quite yet, but expect them on in the next couple days, fingers crossed. And you know, I think at least for me, I love talking hoops with them, so it will be a good one. But Marcus, let's get into this. I think for me, the game really peaked at the start when the Raptors families all gave their intros and there was a ton of unexpected comedy and then the game started and it was downhill.
Yeah, that was a nice moment. I think the Suns did that first in some of their seeding games, but cool to see. Hopefully the Nets do something similar for their games because I don't know. I mean, the Raptors were certainly charged up in the first half. Kyle Lowry drawing multiple charges was fired up, so maybe that was the difference. Maybe they were just they were excited to see their families like that.
Yeah, Lowry was really jazzed up. Not the Utah Jazz, but just jazzed up in general. And I'll give him a shout out on this in this sense because a friend of mine who just kind of started following the NBA basically said maybe a week ago at this point, I really don't like Kyle Lowry. And then after this, completely changed her tune and now said, hey, I love Kyle Lowry. So for him, he's already won someone over just with how cute his kids are.
Yeah, he was very pumped up. I think some of the players who were – because he was announced last. And, like, some of the players were kind of, like, trying to keep it cool. Like, yeah, let me keep stretching, just kind of talk to my teammates, like, acknowledge it. But I'm focused. You know, I'm locked in. It's playoff time. But he was, like, full on – clapping, smiling. It was cool to see.
Right. Well, Siakam and Ananobi, who maybe it was like both of their brothers.
Yeah, I have no idea.
And they like did it deadpan. So they're not gonna get like they're not gonna be like, yeah, it's hilarious. but then I think really it was kind of Gasol and Lowry, whose kids put a ton of personality, and Fred VanVleet's significant other and kids just did looked very sweet, but didn't do anything really out of the ordinary.
Yeah, I for the Suns one, Ricky Rubio's was really good. So maybe it's a point guard thing. I don't know.
Of the Nets, whose family you think would do the best one?
That's a good question. I could see probably Jared Allen. He seems like I know nothing about his family or who would even like do the video for him, but he seems like a nice jovial guy. I could see him having maybe like a niece or nephew pop in and do a similar thing to Lowry.
Yeah, I could see that. I think. If Dinwiddie was playing, I'd love to see what his family would do. But with a lot of these people the Nets have, I feel like Joe Harris is pretty straight-laced. I think Garrett Temple is married, I think, but I'm not sure if he has kids. He might. LeVert, you know, a pretty stoic player, so I assume that kind of runs in the family. And then Kurt's not really sure.
Yeah, maybe if TLC gets the start in game two, maybe he has Antoine Griezmann do it for him.
I love that. Yeah, of course. Okay, but this game, basically, you know, the Raptors came out guns a-blazing. They were just locked in, I think, on both ends. I mean, Lowry was running all over the place and just had kind of the energy that you'd see from someone who, you know, has so much confidence from being the defending champion. Last year, Van Vliet was knocking down everything, 8 of 10 for 3 from him. And, you know, Siakam didn't really get going even, but they were just still able to put up points very easily on the Nets and then just make it so tough for them on defense given their length and activity.
Yeah, and we had talked with Sean Woodley from Locked On Raptors about how game ones in the past had kind of been a problem for the Raptors. And I thought that, like, the way that the Nets are going to win a game in this series, if they are going to win one, is to kind of catch the Raptors sleeping, maybe like get up big in the first quarter and then just kind of hold the lead. But the way that the Raptors were locked in, that was not going to happen. And Josh, we are recording this Tuesday night. The Magic did to the Bucks exactly what I thought that the Nets could do to the Raptors. And it made me kind of think that, like, oh, maybe winning those seeding games, maybe it was the wrong decision. Like, maybe they should have tried to get the 8 seed and, like, play possum, maybe playing, like, so well in that Blazer game, like, kind of woke everyone up, and, like, the Raptors were not going to be caught off guard by the Nets. Like, maybe they would have if Brooklyn had maybe gone, like, 2-6 or 3-5 like we thought they would. Maybe them going all out kind of made it so that there wouldn't be a trap game early on. I don't know. How do you feel about that? And, like, I don't know. Do you wish that they were playing the Bucks now that you've seen the Bucks lose, or is that too much, like, in the moment to prisoner of the moment, kind of?
Yeah, I think it's a little prisoner of the moment. But, like, it's tough because this Raptors team is so deep, and, like, I think the Bucks have probably more noticeable – the Bucks team obviously is a lot higher of a ceiling because they have Giannis, who is just gives you a huge offensive advantage in the end of games, even though, you know, some teams will be able to, make his weaknesses more obvious. The Raptors are a team that doesn't have the ceiling that the Bucks do, but they are just going to thrash every sort of bad opponent, and the Nets are just a bad opponent given some of the roster flaws right now and some of the guys that aren't there. But I don't know. I thought the Nets played the Raptors relatively well. The last two games were pretty close this year. Mm-hmm. I just don't think they'd have a chance either way given the deficit.
Yeah, that's fair. I was really impressed with just how locked in the Raptors were defensively to start the game. Like, early on, it was like neither team was making shots for the first minute or two, and then Toronto got a couple to go. They're getting to the line, and the Nets just, like, couldn't get anything going. LeVert was being guarded by Fred VanVleet, with OG Anunoby kind of, like, shading in, doing, like, a half double, not really respecting Rhodey Kurucs to make an outside shot if the ball got swung to him, and just how connected Toronto was rotating really well defensively. I mean, I know we talked about it ahead of the series, and, like, it's not a surprise that their defense is so good, but I don't know. Maybe I just hadn't watched them that closely. They were really locked in.
Yeah, I think, like, also I think it's a really stark difference between how the Nets defend and how the Raptors defend. Like, if someone gets inside into the paint against the Nets, everyone collapses.
Yes.
So many outside shooters. That is excellent defense if you're playing, like, rec league basketball in fifth grade. That's what they teach you to do. Everyone swarm in because none of these fifth graders are going to be able to hit a shot on the outside. The Raptors are so smart at having, like, really the one guy that needs to collapse. Everyone else kind of be able to get outside and rotate on the shooters that need to be rotated to. So Kurucs, maybe you don't have to rotate as hard onto him. Guys like Joe Harris, there's going to be someone right there. And they didn't give up really any wide open threes, which is a miracle in today's NBA. The Nets had a ton of, like, semi-open threes, but still they were getting, like, decent contests on them, which just makes things harder when you don't have a great shooting team like the Nets. And I think that's, like, the way that they defend the three, or at least did in this last game, was, like, really, really rare and special in the 2020 NBA game, I think.
Continue supporting restaurants in your community safely. There are thousands of restaurants open for delivery on DoorDash that need your patronage now more than ever. DoorDash is the app that brings you food you're craving right now, right to your door. Ordering is easy. Just open the DoorDash app, choose what you want to eat, and your food will be safely left outside your door with the new contactless delivery drop-off setting. With over 300,000 partners in the U.S., Puerto Rico, Canada, and Australia, you can support your local go-tos or choose from your favorite national restaurants like Chipotle, Wendy's, and the Cheesecake Factory. Right now, our listeners can get $5 off and zero delivery fees on their first order of $15 or more when you download the DoorDash app and enter code LOCKEDONNBA. That's $5 off and zero delivery fees on your first order when you download the DoorDash app in the App Store and enter code LOCKEDONNBA one more time. That is code LOCKEDONNBA for $5 off your first order with DoorDash.
Yeah, and I think the definitely part of the reason the Nets like maybe don't communicate as well defensively is because this is like kind of a whole new team, and Toronto's been playing together for a couple years with this team, even going back to when most of them were in the G League together with Nick Nurse. Like, this is a group that's been together for a while, and the Nets, as we've talked about, are kind of put together on the fly. But yeah, I think the point you made about like everyone collapsing, leaving people wide open from three, that was a huge deal. Fred VanVleet, he made some tough shots also, but a lot of them were wide open. He was 8 of 10 from three in the game, and the Raptors made 9 more threes than the Nets. And when the Nets did collapse and kind of offer that help and the Raptors didn't kick it out, it led to a lot of fouls, a lot of like slaps on the wrist, a lot of flops from Kyle Lowry also. But Toronto did a nice job of getting to the line and making their free throws. They made 21 more free throws than the Nets, only missed one. They were 32 of 33. So when you add up like kind of those analytically friendly points of threes and free throws, they were plus 48 in those two spots. And that's really tough to overcome, especially if this is a Nets team that was not making outside shots in this game. They were 31% from three in the game. Like, they're already out-talented. If they're being beat on the margins too, it's pretty much impossible.
Yeah, I mean, like, the Raptors did have a very hot shooting game, which kind of compounded everything. I mean, they're not going to go 22 of 44 from three every game.
No.
OG Anunoby was 3 of 5 from three. Like, he's improved as a shooter, but he did hit a couple like semi-contested looks where it's like, okay, you can definitely live with that. Van Vliet's not going to go 8 of 10, regardless how open he is. Like, they had a good game, and they were able to, I think, do a really nice job on this Nets team. I think I'd like to see the Nets kind of play a bit smarter on defense, especially where it's like, you know, where Arik Shea got some run, and there was times where it was, you know, the game was kind of over, but like, the Nets should know better than anyone else. If he's out there, like, don't even bother guarding him. Just try, basically, you know, double wherever the ball is or have someone roving. You have to kind of take advantage of those opportunities where, you know, the Raptors have huge weaknesses on the court, because it's going to be very rare, and the Nets have a lot more than the Raptors do. So the Nets just need to be smart about how they, you know, defend in those certain situations.
Yeah, and I mean, that is what they did in the third quarter. They laid off Rondé. They got back on defense because they were really getting burned in transition.
Yeah.
Lowry had
that
one crazy pass that was like the length of the court to Siakam for the and one. But
and that, the other play where, was it Van Vliet? Or it might have been Van Vliet or Lowry. They just inbounded the ball to them, and then no one picked up ball at all. LeVert like thought he had help, and they literally just got an easy uncontested layup off an inbounds with no passes.
Yeah, that one was embarrassing. But in that third quarter, definitely a lot of positive moments. That was kind of the one run that the Nets had. They cut it from 33 all the way down to 8. It kind of started at the end of the second quarter, but mostly in that third quarter, I thought they came out with a lot more energy and spirit. Obviously, part of the reason they outplayed the Raptors was probably that Toronto took their foot off the gas pedal with a 30-plus point lead at times in the second quarter. But even still, the Nets played really well. They found a lineup that worked with TLC at the four instead of Kurucs, and then the rest of their starting lineup out there, Tyler Johnson mixed in a little bit at times. And those were kind of the six guys that they could trust in this game, but like trying to dig out of the hole that was as big as it was, like they had to rest those guys when they took them out. Jeremiah Martin held it down for a little bit. Jared Allen banked in that buzzer beater at the end of the third quarter, but they just like couldn't keep it up. And so a nice effort in the third quarter for sure. Maybe something they can take with them given kind of how poor the game was as a whole. But yeah, just it was a little too little too late. Oof.
Yeah. It was like they just weren't able to generate clean looks offensively, which just would make sense. Like, I think LeVert did a nice job finding teammates and like generating a large quantity of like decent looks for people, but they weren't getting the really easy stuff that we've seen in the bubble, where it's like LeVert, you know, baiting the defenders in, lobbing it over to Allen, who has just like an uncontested dunk. They just had less of those opportunities. When LeVert was trying to finish, it was a lot of like contested mid-rangers, a couple plays where I thought he deserved a foul call but didn't. Definitely letting him play a little bit. You know, I just don't know where we go from here on like what the Nets can do to really like change things. Like, can Garrett Temple shoot better than 1 of 10 from three? Yes, and hope so. But nothing structurally about it's going to make it a lot easier for the Nets.
Yeah, I think, I mean, it has to start with those kind of like things that they can control analytically, like we talked about. Like, you can't foul as much as you did. The Raptors were in the bonus halfway through the quarter a couple times. That's just easy points to give them. You have to get back on defense because, like we talked about with Sean, they aren't the best team at scoring in the half court. They kind of, a lot of their points come from pushing the pace. And a lot of that happened in this game because the Nets were missing so many shots and Toronto was kind of pushing it off of a miss. But if you make more shots, you get back on defense, you stop fouling, that'll definitely cut the margin. And then, I don't know, do you think they should start TLC or do you like what he's given them off the bench? I feel like him being out there for spacing, especially like he made 6 threes in this game, like the Raptors are going to close out on him. Maybe that gives Karras a little bit more room to drive and to kind of get inside and get more shots off, because he was a great passer in this game, career high 15 assists, but he did not take over the game shooting the ball like he needed to. Only 14 shot attempts, only 5 of 14. So maybe he can score more if TLC is out there with him to start the game. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I'd be fine switching him in Temple. I think, you know, Temple...
Oh, I was thinking for Rhodey.
Oh, really? Yeah, I think you need a little bit more balance there. Like, the reason why I like Temple off the bench a little bit more is because he can be a steady hand at times. So he is a nice complement to a guy like Chioza. I don't know. I just think, like, at that point, then you're just going to get bludgeoned probably on the boards and on, you know, kind of like bully ball by guys like Siakam. And even Ananobi might want to post up a little bit more, but maybe that's what you want.
Right.
So I think there's a couple of different ways that you can do it, but like ultimately TLC played 33 minutes. So I think, you know, he definitely was able to get a lot of run out there. I'm fine switching him out for Rhodey. I just don't know what to make of Rhodey because he can be so inconsistent and like fouling out in 16 minutes and he just didn't necessarily have a plan out there. A lot of Nets guys didn't. But I think maybe he is actually someone who's better served to play in a bench role just because the Raptors starters, as you said before, are so smart about taking him out of plays and understanding that like you can help off him because, you know, he doesn't have a ton of confidence in himself as a shooter and they don't have a ton of faith that he's going to be single-handedly responsible for, you know, draining threes and beating them.
Yeah. And I don't know. I mean, the Raptors have a pretty short rotation, like Lowry and Van Vliet. This game was a blowout. They played 39 and 38 minutes.
Yeah.
In this game, which is kind of crazy. Like, I don't really understand that. But for the Nets, like you said, the point about TLC playing 33 minutes off the bench is a good one because he doesn't really need to start as long as he's getting that kind of run. I think I was just thinking more like trying not to get into a hole so early. And, like, I don't know, the team definitely looked dispirited for a stretch in the second quarter. They turned it around at halftime, whatever Jacque Vaughn said to them, or Karras was kind of doing a good job on the audio bites that they were playing, like keeping the team engaged even when the deficit was what it was. But they definitely need to start faster than they did because they can't, they're not a team that's built to like come back from a deficit. RockAuto.com is a family business serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. They have everything from engine control modules and brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, and even new carpet. Get everything you need in a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. The RockAuto.com catalog is unique and super easy to navigate. You can quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle and choose the brands, specifications, and prices that you prefer. Best of all, those prices at rockauto.com are always reliably low, and the same for professionals and do-it-yourselfers. Why spend up to twice as much for the same parts? Go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Write "Locked On" in their "How did you hear about us" box so they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need, rockauto.com.
Yeah, for sure. I can't believe TLC was a +2.
Yeah, in the game they lost by 24.
They lost. They were, that guy outscored by 26 in the 15 minutes he wasn't on the court.
Oh my god!
How is that possible?
He's so good. I'm so happy that they have him signed for next season on like a really cheap deal. Obviously, with so many guys coming back, you don't really know where he'll be in the rotation. Maybe he's not even in the rotation, but he's definitely a guy that I would trust in a situation if like there's an injury or if like a guy's resting on a certain night. Like he seems legit. I know it's a small sample, but I'm kind of buying in.
Yeah, he's been good. I mean, also like you could see he had some takes last night to the basket, and he was just like so much more confident than he was when the Nets first got him. So like he definitely showed a lot, and like the Raptors are, whether it's the starters or the bench, if you can get to the basket and score on them, that's not an easy feat because they are so disciplined. And he was just like draining threes, and they weren't like wide open looks. So I don't know. I was pretty bullish on his performance, and think, you know, definitely the Nets may have found something in him as at least a useful piece on the team, or a guy that you can throw into a trade, and he's gonna, you know, be someone that the other team is interested in acquiring.
Yeah. Also, you mentioned like getting inside and stuff. I felt like they did a good job of that in the second half, and I was surprised they didn't do it more earlier on. Like, I know they were kind of shading Ananobi over and they were doubling a lot, but I felt like Karis could kind of get where he wanted to, and he was maybe being a little bit like, let me make sure everyone gets involved, I don't want to take all the shots. But I don't know, I would like to see him be a little bit more aggressive, because I thought in the third quarter Toronto had this like really funky lineup that had RHJ, Siakam, and Ibaka all out there together, and it was like not enough shooting, and also like not really a rim protector with Ibaka at his current age, the closest thing. Yeah. And like they did a good job of penetrating and kicking, and Gasol isn't like super mobile. Like they don't have like a true rim protector that they've been playing. So I definitely want to see Karis attack the basket even more than he did in the third and fourth quarter of that game.
Yeah, for sure. I think there's definitely a good point there. I think there's something that they could do with Kuric. Like, I don't know if he should be on the wing. He is a really good cutter, but I feel like he's kind of been relegated and to not cutting as much because he's basically been standing on the wing as opposed to in the corner. So maybe on setting the screen, he can be in the corner. And then, you know, he is so good at kind of timing up with the ball handler. And he's gotten a lot of alley-oop dunks in his 2 years with the Nets just from, you know, basically lulling the defender to sleep and getting that easy 2 points. And the Nets need, you know, those types of things if they can get it. It's going to be tough to do it against a team like the Raptors. You're not playing, you know, the Wizards or the Hornets anymore. But I think there's something there. Maybe if you have Allen setting the screen and Kurtz in the opposite corner, there's just more kind of space to play with, because the way that they have it now, it's so easy for the Raptors defender and Kurtz just to shade off and make life really tough for the lead ball handler.
That's a really great point, actually, because there were a lot of times where it was like Harris in the corner and Rhodey on the wing. And I think that's because like if Karis can get inside, then there's not going to be like that late help that comes over from the corner, because obviously they're going to respect Harris. But he can't even like get past that first level with the amount of like help that they're giving. So maybe you swap those guys where they're standing on the court. He gets inside. Maybe he draws a double closer to the basket, and he's like kind of more in the thickets there. But I don't know. If you kick out to the corner to Rhodey, I think I like that more than him on the wing for sure.
Yeah. And basically, even if, you know, they're still shading off to stop Karis from getting into the lane, if you can get a Harris semi-contested three on a lot of volume, mm-hmm. That's a great play.
Yeah. And the deeper you get into the paint, like the more they're sucked in, the further out they'll have to go for that closeout. So I think that makes a lot of sense.
And then it'll be the Nets winning by 24.
That's all it takes.
Yeah, just that one song. So like DM Jacques Lon.
Yeah, hey Jacques, tell Joe to stand like 6 feet to his left and swap him with Rhodey, and then they just destroy.
Oh my god! Yeah, I think we're onto something here. Okay, tomorrow's game, 1:30 start. How are you feeling about it?
I think I feel good. If this were like a real series with like home court and stuff, like you kind of, as like the lower seed, you don't have a ton of pressure in the first two games. Like if you're able to steal one, then the pressure's really on the other team. But with these neutral site games, it's kind of weird. Like I never normally I'd be like, okay, game three is the game that they're going to have to win, like, because they'll be down 2-0 probably. But, like, right now, I don't know. It could kind of go either way. So, kind of mixed feelings. I was definitely encouraged with the second half. Maybe they can keep that going. And if the Raptors, again, don't shoot lights out with Ibaka and with Anunoby and with Van Vliet, maybe it's a little bit more competitive.
Yeah, I hope it's going to be more competitive, at least, just because it kind of was a buzzkill to watch a game that, you know, we had spurts of excitement, but besides that, it was basically over after the first quarter. You know, I'm excited to see if TLC can keep it up, how Karis does. I think guys like Kurutz and, you know, what do you think about Chioza only getting 7 minutes, by the way?
I thought he seemed like very overmatched in this game, and I think, I don't know, even though his plus minus was atrocious, Tyler Johnson I thought played pretty decently and was like one of the few guys that could like create a shot off the dribble. Granted, it was a lot of like mid-range stuff and he wasn't super efficient, but I don't know, with his size he's like not targeted as much on defense, and then with his, again, with his size, he's kind of able to get a little bit more separation for like a late shot clock attempt if like LeVert is stifled and he has to swing it to the other side. Chioza, I think, can be used in spurts for sure as like kind of a spark guy, kind of like what we used to say about Rhodey. I don't know. I just feel like Van Vliet and Lowry especially are like kind of like size to him, and so his quickness advantage maybe isn't as big in this series as it would be against a different team.
Yeah, no, I think he played pretty terribly, but he was such a big part of what the Nets have done in the bubble and the few games before that, kind of late Feb, early March, before things wrapped up. So I was surprised that they had such a quick trigger on him, but maybe it's just kind of a bit of insight on how they're thinking about his future on the team. But he definitely looked a bit overmatched. But I'm cautiously optimistic that he can, you know, rebound a bit and look a, slightly more in control at least. And, you know, if his threes aren't falling, that's fine, but at least getting the Nets into some good sets and seeing what he can do there. So I think he's a player to watch for me, just more from an overall curiosity level rather than, you know, just the key to the game.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. He's a guy who, like, could kind of go either way game to game. So hopefully he goes the right way this one.
Yeah. Well, Marcus, we should be in for a doozy tomorrow. I've really been enjoying some of the playoff basketball. Anything you want to highlight on some of the games that we've seen yesterday and today as well?
Obviously, that Magic win over the Bucks was huge. Also, the Mavs-Clippers game, I don't know if you watched that last night. Pretty crazy. I mean, Luka's like already so good, and the Porzingis ejection was obviously bad, but I'm excited to see the rest of that series because I think it's maybe one of the more competitive ones. We had the overtime game also, but I don't know. I feel like I trust the Nuggets a lot more in that series for sure.
Yeah, that was, I don't know, the Nuggets-Jazz game for me was really fun. Yeah. Watching Mitchell, but then also like some of the shots that Jamal Murray hit end of regulation, like he showed that he can be such a huge bucket getter, and he's still an inconsistent player, but very young. But if you're Utah, like you have a guy like him on the perimeter that can create and has shown flashes of being that go-to guy, I think it's really promising for them. And obviously they get the win over time. So a lot of series that are interesting. We're about to see the Blazers, the Lakers tip off, which will be interesting as well to see if Dame can continue his recent hot stretch. But on the Nets side, we will be back in your ears. Probably the next pod will go up Thursday morning. In the meantime, you can follow us on Twitter at LockedOnNets. Marcus is at Marcus Barahal, Barahal. I'm at JMBass_. And until next time, be well.
Bye.